In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
In the name of heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But of you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, liven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Chant the introit from your insert for the seventh Sunday after Epiphany.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way.
Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass.
God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that, by your power, we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is from Genesis chapter 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry, and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry, for you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you. For there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. Hurry, and bring my father down to me.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 103, responsibly whole verse by whole verse, 1 through 8.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Corinthians chapter 15.
For as by a man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Alleluia and verse.
According to St. Luke, the 6th chapter,
glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 844. You may be seated. This lesson that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Plain is no exception. A summary of these lessons is the statement, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them."
As Jesus explicates what it means to live as sons of the Most High, he reveals how different it is to live as one who belongs to him compared to the rest of the world that's still under the bondage of sin and death. And if we take a second to seriously consider what Jesus is commanding here, we would be quick to realize that his commands for us are truly unnatural to our fallen flesh. Consider the words of St. Paul in our epistle reading today. He states that in Adam, all die. We all die, as we know, because we are all by nature sinful and unclean. Our nature, fallen and as distorted as it is far from being the image of God instilled in Adam before the fall and is thus subjected to futility and death. And yet this futility and death isn't merely regulated to the physical death of the body, but it also affects our will and power. In fact, so thorough is humanity corrupted that we cannot even fully understand how fallen, powerless, and sinful we truly are, as King David himself attests in Psalm 19 when he says, "Who can discern his errors?" As a result of our sinfulness, sinful from the moment of conception, our inheritance can be nothing and is nothing other than death. And despite our helplessness and our wretched condition, St. Paul states, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." I know. We have heard this so many times before that it can easily go into one ear and right out the other. But consider this deeply. For in this we find a mystery in the one true faith. That despite all that we justly deserve because of our thoughts, words, and deeds, despite our inability to improve or turn our daily habits and actions to something more holy by our own native power, our Father, before he was even our Father, sent his most precious possession, his only begotten Son, into the world as a sacrifice so that he might gain for himself the salvation of man. Seriously contemplate this majestic and mysterious truth, that while we were still his enemy, and he our enemy, Christ came at the right moment in love and mercy to save us from the judgment that we so richly deserved. This truth, which is beyond mortal comprehension, this truth, which can be glazed over without much thought, is the very operating principle by which Jesus gives us his Sermon on the Plain. At least a segment of this sermon that we have read in our gospel reading today. And I will distill this operating principle for you concisely in a single, brief statement. God is love. And if God is love, then it follows that he is merciful. Proof of his mercy is found in the incarnation, sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, all while we were still his enemy and he ours. This whole sermon revolves around a single verse, verse 36, that states this operating principle. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. In saying this, Jesus provides the reasoning and rationale behind his exhortations and commands. Jesus is insinuating that if you truly do belong to the Father as sons of the Most High, who is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, then you too will be like this. For we were all ungrateful and evil, and yet our Lord died for us in love and mercy. All Jesus is asking of us is to give to others what we have received in, through, and by faith in Christ Jesus. For if we are sons of the Most High, then we share in his image, the image of God. And what is God our Father's image? Love. It is simply love. God is love, and as children of the divine love, we radiate love in word and deed as well. It is as inevitable as an apple tree, full and healthy, producing apples. The apple tree does not get to decide what kind of fruit it will bear forth, but bears forth according to its nature. So it is with Christians, in whom has been given a new creation, a new Adam, a renewed nature through baptism, in which we continually grow to resemble our divine brother and Savior. So then, what does Jesus say in this sermon on the plain regarding mercy and love? Let us begin with the generalities he sets forth in verses 27 and 28. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And in these, we have general commandments that seem so unnatural to the flesh, so contrary to human opinion. Who loves his enemies? Who naturally does good to those who hate him? Who finds it within himself to bless those who wish the worst for him? And my goodness, who prays for those who abuse you, save perhaps a wrathful and precatory prayer? Already the commands of Jesus are starting to become insurmountable to obey. This is a hard word. Who can listen to it? But our Lord Jesus isn't finished. He is about to explain how this looks like and compound the difficulty. To the one who strikes you, offer him the other cheek. To the one who takes your cloak, give him your tunic as well. Are you starting to see how Jesus is taking this to a whole new level of intensity? Now, let's pause for a moment and consider his command regarding what you should do to the one who takes your cloak. Jesus here is actually hitting upon an Old Testament law regarding the divinely given protection of one's cloak and clothing. In Exodus chapter 22, God grants protection to the one whose cloak is taken away from him. This divinely given right, God states through Moses, saying, if you ever take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return to it. You shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. And what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate. And despite this God-given right, Jesus commands his hearers to forego this Old Testament protection. And not just to forego the divine protection, but to take it even a step further by willingly giving him your undergarment as well. It is almost as if Jesus is saying, if the world strips you bare, let them, for the sake of the gospel, through which I saved you and clothed you with my righteousness, a clothing no one can strip you of. The same goes for being struck. You can almost hear Jesus saying, if the world strikes you, let them, for the sake of the gospel, through which I saved you, and was struck unjustly by men, and gave no wrathful response for your sake. This has far-reaching implications for how we ought to deal with those who hate us. Our behavior is to be markedly different than the sinful world's behavior. As Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. So the question you must ask yourself is this. If Jesus says thus about things being taken from me, and about being struck, what is the operating principle behind this that is applicable to other situations I might find myself in? The operating principle is this. Just because I have the right to something doesn't mean I ought to execute that right. Now, let me repeat that. Just because I have the right to something doesn't mean I ought to execute that right. For love, the kind of love Jesus showed us when we did not deserve it, nor had any right to it, covers a multitude of sins. Mercy. Mercy is the rule and norm of true Christians. We are to imitate Christ and not cling to our notions of justice in this world, lest God apply our own standard to us, as Jesus warns by saying, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." We are to imitate what Christ has done for us. We are to imitate Him because of all these righteous requirements that He has set forth, He Himself fulfilled. Consider His passion for a moment. He was basically tried in a kangaroo court, lied about, and slandered at the behest of His own priests. And yet, He loved them who hated Him. He was struck across the face and mocked. "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" And yet, He did not return their blow and mockery, but stood ready for another blow across the face. He blessed those who cursed Him and prayed for those who were killing Him as He was hanging on that tree when He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He even gave to the ones who begged and healed Bartimaeus, who was a blind beggar, restoring his sight, not asking for a moment anything in return, nor did he have any expectation of it for his good gift that he had given freely and mercifully. We, humanity, were his enemies, and he loved us, did good to us, and expected nothing in return. His reward was great, because He was and is the only Son of the Most High. His reward was the salvation of man and His ascension into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. He was kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He was and still is merciful. And truly, He cannot be any other way, even as His heavenly Father is merciful. Nor did Jesus come to even judge and condemn, but to save. He forgives sins. He gives to us a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, of forgiveness, life, and everything pertaining to life, and salvation. All this He puts into your lap. Ignoring every other good thing you have in your life, health, spouse, children, house, friends, joy, peace, Jesus, He is the ultimate proof that God is love. Because of all this, Jesus commands His disciples and those who would follow Him to be long-suffering, as He clearly was. We are to judge with mercy and patience in the same way Jesus judges us with mercy and patience. I mean, after all, vengeance is the Lord's. He shall repay. So we have no need to concern ourselves with getting what is our due here in this world against those who hate us. And what if we fail? What if we fail these immense and staggering commands to do something so unnatural as to love your enemies and allow them to strike you and take your cloak, giving them your tunic? Take heart. For we have a merciful Father. The same verse that provides the rationale and impetus for these commands, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful," is the same verse that provides the comfort when we invariably fall short. If we are to be perfect, because the Lord our God is perfect, if we are to be merciful, because our Father is merciful, then when we fail, we repent and fall back on that same mercy that both compels and propels us to the imitation of itself. And in the constant forgiveness given to us, the mercy springing ever new each and every morning, we are strengthened and enlivened to go forth and be merciful all the more because of the great and surpassing mercy daily shown to us. For in this, our Father's mercy toward us, as shown most clearly in Christ Jesus, and the Christian's response of mercy toward the ungrateful and the evil, we are sons of the Most High, and will be given grace blessing, and life in good measure. For with the measure God has given us to give others, it will be measured back to us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
The prayer of the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your servant Joseph endured hardship and struggle. We tested his faith, but to completion, according to your promises, through Christ the new Adam, you gave hope to him and hope to all the world. Lord, in your mercy, preserve and unite your church by the Holy Gospel. Give us true unity of doctrine and faith in your word. Bless and sustain our leaders in our synod, district, circuit, and congregation. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church, early child care, campus ministry, and international student ministry. And bless Ashley Lair as she serves your people in Puerto Rico. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son, our Lord, commanded us to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. Pray for those who persecute us. Lead us, O Lord, with the same love, to be of one accord, share one mind and heart with you and the whole church in our daily vocations. This week, bless Theo Terenez, Josh Hartman, Ron Barnes, Josiah Stecker, Katie Brinketter, Hope Warner, Cadence Ward, Larry Miller, and Sarah Lemke as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. Bless Bill and Sue Eby as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Righteous Lord, uphold civil authority, those responsible for the welfare of our nation, state, and community. Help them steadfastly to pursue the cause of justice, to protect life from beginning to natural end. Guard all first responders, police, firemen, those who serve in the military, protecting and defending us here and abroad. Watch over Gabe, Mike, Alex, Calvin, and Eli as we pray for peace in the Ukraine, in Palestine, in Israel, and Syria. Continue to be with those recovering from the hurricanes, plane crashes, and the fires, and protect all of us from all harm. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, according to your will, grant healing for the sick and infirm. Be with Stephen Amet having surgery this week. Also bless the wife of Pastor Dwight Moeller, Amy Moeller. Bless Mike Wente, Patrick Quillen, and Brian Maluski, Nancy Hartman, Alan Smith, and Ken and Pat Ortiz, Pat Lemke, John Deepy, and Doug Gransberg, Gene Faulkner, Ember Ward, Candy Darmody, Betty Tinney, and Josh Lee. Lord, in your mercy. We implore you, as you forgive our sins, may we forgive others with cleansed hearts, that we would love your holy word, abide in it, and by grace be saved forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we gather the offerings, fill out the pads at the end of the pew, and then as you depart, put them in the basket. We now gather the offerings. You may be seated.
Joseph Sacrament, page 208. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks for grace.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laying on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly bar them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promise salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Christ.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, in body and soul, for life everlasting. Keep part of it. strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, and body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Peace.
Amen.